May it please the court, Chandra Kellum from the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois on behalf of Mr. Douglas. The only issue in this case is whether a bare-boned, uncorroborated, anonymous tip was sufficient to justify the police officer's Terry stop of Mr. Douglas.
Counsel, what was the Terry stop?
The Terry stop was, Your Honor, was when...
An officer approached the car, and before even opening his mouth to ask a question, sees ammunition.
Your Honor, that's not my reading of the transcript. What happened in this case, and I reread it again last night, this is exactly what happened. Mr. Douglas is in this parking lot, seated behind the wheel of his car with his headlights on and his motor running, presumably about to leave, when the police officers pulled directly in front of him, nose to nose. By their own testimony, they admitted they did so in a deliberate attempt to prevent him from leaving. I believe that's critical because in determining whether a stop occurred, the question is whether a reasonable person would have felt free to leave if the police officers believed he wasn't free to depart.
Your client did feel free to leave. He left.
Yes, Your Honor, he did leave only after he had been illegally detained and the police saw the ammunition on the ground. But before they could detain him...
So your view is that the stop is where the police parked their car?
That's my initial
view. Because the Supreme Court has held that you can walk up to anybody and ask questions... And it was just the act of walking up to your client that revealed probable cause to believe that a felony had been committed in their presence.
I disagree, Your Honor. I think what happened here was
they knew he was a convicted felon. They saw the ammunition. Game over.
Well,
right? So unless putting the car there was the stop, there's no need for cause of any sort, right?
Your Honor, it's my position that when they pulled directly in front of him, they blocked his egress.
Did he want to leave at that point?
Was he trying to drive away?
I would assume, as high as gas prices are, that someone should not sit in the parking lot with their car running and the headlights on for no reason.
No. I mean, there is... A person is only stopped if his freedom of motion is impeded. Suppose he were parked with his ignition off, and the police park in front of him because they don't want him to move. But on the other hand, he's not moving anywhere. It's just a precaution. That wouldn't be a stop.
I would say that would not be, but that wasn't
his stop.
But that wasn't the case, Your Honor, here.
Well, but he's standing. He's not driving. They're not blocking him. I mean, they're blocking him, but he's not driving. He's standing. So, is there any evidence that they were about to leave?
Yes, Your Honor.
He's just about to step on the gas pedal when he's blocked by the police car. Is that the evidence?
No, the evidence is that by the time they had entered the parking lot, he was seated behind the wheel of his car with his hands on the wheel, his headlights were on, and the engine was running, and the officers themselves testified they assumed he was about to leave. That's why they treated this, in their words, traffic stop a little differently by pulling directly in front of him to kind of block him from leaving, and that's at page 75 and 76. I think they testified to that at page 18. And if the officers...
Well, what did they say?
They said that they parked in that manner to prevent him from leaving.
No. What did your client say?
My client, Your Honor, did not testify.
He never said... There was no... I see.
But let's just say if there's some ambiguity as to whether he was stopped at the moment that they pulled directly in front of him, I submit that ambiguity was certainly cleared up by the time the officers jumped out of their cars and one went to the passenger side and one went to the driver's side, because at this point you have now him bounded on all three sides, just as in the Pavelski case. And I don't see how a person would feel that they were free to leave.
Except that your client did leave.
Your Honor, he only left, though.
There's a separate question here, which is if the police come up to you and say stop and you flee, have you been seized?
No, Your Honor, because you didn't submit to the officers.
That's for Dari D, right?
Right.
So the police put their car next to Douglas's car, and he leaves. Don't we just have Odari D all over again?
No, Your Honor, because he did not leave immediately. He was detained long enough.
It doesn't matter whether he leaves immediately. He left. He didn't, whatever show of authority they were making, he did not submit to.
Well, Your Honor, initially he did submit. He did not leave right away. He stayed there long enough for them to approach his car to ask him, did he see this fight? They asked him for ID.
What is the evidence that he would have left at that moment if the police hadn't been parked in front of him?
The fact that he had his hands on the wheel, the lights were on, and the engine was running.
But he's in a parking lot, and he's not moving.
He's not moving because the police have now pulled directly
in front
of him.
That's the question. Is that why he's not moving, or is it that he was certainly going to leave soon, but he wasn't going to leave that minute?
Well, it seems to me that
people are frequently sitting in their cars standing, right, with the ignition on, waiting for someone, waiting for something to happen, right?
Right, but
how do we know that wasn't this case?
Because the police testified that while they were turning the corner, he was initially standing outside the car. By the time they got inside the parking lot, he was seated in the car behind the wheel, presumably about to leave. That's what they assumed, and that's why they testified they tried to block him. They were successful initially, and then after they had decided to arrest him after seeing the ammunition and had sprayed him in the face with mace, that's when he fled. The government is contending...
An attenuated stop, isn't it? So originally, Terry search, you stop a person, you pat him down. That's pretty intrusive. And that takes several minutes and so on. But as far as we know, he was just delayed momentarily, right? He wasn't.
But, Your Honor, it seems to me that the law requires that even if you're detained momentarily and you restrain someone's movement, you have to have reasonable suspicion that criminal activity was afoot, and they had none.
Do you think it was wrong for the police to park in front of him?
Yes, Your Honor. I think what they should have done is
chased him.
No, what they should have done is what Florida v. Jail requires, which is when you receive an anonymous tip that someone is engaged in criminal activity, the police have to make some independent observations
that would indicate... That doesn't make any sense. They don't have time to do that.
Why didn't they have time, Your Honor? This is just like Florida v. Jail. In Florida, they had a tip that a young man was standing at the bus stop.
Any time, this your client would have no longer been in the parking lot.
Well, then they could have followed him.
Oh, great. Have a chase, a high-speed chase. That's terrific.
Well, Your Honor, the Fourth Amendment requires some reasonable suspicion that someone has...
It doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. Well, suppose he was... I'm sorry, excuse me. Sorry, go ahead, John.
Didn't they know this man from previous offenses?
They did know him, but
so they walked up to his car. Now, what's wrong with that?
Well, before they walked up...
No, wait. Just answer what I'm asking.
There was nothing wrong with walking up to his car. That would have been more consensual.
Then they looked in the car, and they saw the ammunition.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now,
that's
what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. The problem.
What's improper?
The problem happens before that, which is when they pulled directly in front of him, making a show of authority, indicating that he was not free to depart. They detained him. At that point, they had.
They detained him.
That was
by coming up to a car like this, not out of the car, but at that point they detained him.
Yes, the law says anytime.
Couldn't this man just have driven around him and pulled out as he wanted to?
He could have, but the Eighth Circuit.
Fine, then he isn't detained.
But, Your Honor, in United States v. Nicholas, the Eighth Circuit disagreed. In that case, the defendant was parked in a parking lot. The police pulled in front of him. He was able to maneuver out.
The car wasn't parked. The engine was running, you told me.
Right. But it was stationary right there for the moment, but the car was running. But in this other case, it was also not. The car wasn't moving when the police pulled behind him. It was only one patrol car, like in this case.
It was a dark green car with a plate matching the identification of the car that they were looking for.
Well, Your Honor.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact, but I think it's insignificant in this case, and this is why. The caller did not report that the assailants, the actual perpetrators, okay, were from that car. Moreover, in Florida v. JL, the Supreme Court said it's not enough to observe the geographical location or appearance of the suspect. You have to observe something that indicates that they were actually involved in illegal activity.
Can an officer walk up to me and talk to me out on the street?
Yes, but you don't have to answer. They have the right to...
You're jumping ahead of me. Can an officer walk up to me and begin talking to me?
Yes, Your Honor.
They have an identification of the automobile that he's in. It fits it exactly, and it's in the location. And then they haven't done anything wrong at that time, have they?
No.
Then they look in the car and they see the ammunition.
Where they did something wrong is when they stopped him from leaving by pulling in front of him.
Stop him. Look, it's so ridiculous. Right? He drove right around them.
Your Honor, you're making it seem as if he drove immediately, as soon as they pulled in front of him, and he drove off. That's not what happened.
The point is, he was not blocked. We know he was not blocked because he drove around them.
Well, doesn't the fact that he had to drive off to the left indicate he couldn't drive forward?
So this is your idea of a Terry stop, that if you force a person to step around you or something like that, suppose a police stands in the middle of a sidewalk and says, I want to talk to you. And so what you do is you walk around him. You don't walk through him, you walk around him. So have you been stopped because your path was diverted in that way?
No, I would be stopped
But that's exactly what happened here. They parked the car so far in front of his car that he could drive around it. They didn't block the car. They didn't block his car, right? He drove around it.
Your Honor, I wasn't there, but the officers who were said that they blocked.
Look,
they tried to block his car.
If they tried, they didn't succeed. Now you're going to say an attempted Terry stop?
No, Your Honor.
Is a violation of the Constitution, right? A failed attempted Terry stop?
No, Your Honor. I think where we respectfully disagree is that I'm saying he submitted. You're saying that he never submitted to their authority when they pulled in front of him and stopped. I'm saying he submitted to their authority, meaning he didn't drive off long enough for them to get out of their cars, to approach the cars, to shine their flashlights, to ask him for ID, to ask him, you know, about this alleged fight. And what I'm saying is they had no right. By then, they have a triangular effect. They have him blocked on all three sides, just as in the Pavelski case where this court held a stop did occur. And then, therefore, this was all before they spotted the ammunition. Then they see the ammunition. And the problem I'm saying is that initial detention was illegal. All the gun evidence that they seized after that should have been suppressed. And for these reasons, I respectfully request that this court reverse the defendant's conviction.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Callum. Mr. Miller?
May it please the court, counsel, Eugene Miller on behalf of the United States. The United States asks this court to affirm the ruling of the district court that no Fourth Amendment violation occurred in this case, that the police officers' actions were reasonable. And in fact, as the district court found, it would have been a dereliction of duty for the officers to have done anything else. They received a dispatch that a woman was being beaten in a parking lot next to a car that matched the car that the defendant was in. As this court has already noted, they responded to that scene. They parked facing the defendant's car, walked up to his car. He never submitted to authority. They asked him questions. He refused to answer. And then after they saw the ammunition and asked him to step out of the car, he then drove away from the scene. Because there was no seizure or stop to implicate the Fourth Amendment, we ask this court to affirm the finding of the district court.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Miller. And thank you, Ms. Kellum, and the defenders for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.